Welcome back, our nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, and we got a Canadian posse today because we got Jeff Matt on for the second hour, an independent researcher since 2002. His research is focused on picture analysis and pattern recognition and reveals hiding trends in our daily lives. Jeffrey's mission is to promote individual freedom, alternative learning, and most importantly, paying tribute to his prime mentor and friend, Jordan Maxwell. And he's not a stranger to Power Hour, and neither is Jordan Maxwell. These are great allies in the battle for truth, the battle for our very civilization, as it's turning out to be. And I called Jeffrey last night. We had a very long conversation. It was getting down to, you know, that little red light on my cell battery was just saying, any minute now, or second. And so I ran to another room to plug it in so we could finish it off. And, you know, I was it's almost like a shame. Could have been, you know, another show. It was good. He told me things that I'd never heard before and explained them very, very well. So welcome aboard, Jeffrey, and start to take us down the road of all this technology and the trap we face.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on again. It's a privilege, and I'm looking forward to having our discussion today. And yes, I did enjoy our chat last night because we covered so much material. But I think today, after sleeping on it and thinking about listening to you, and you, by the way, I love how you break things down and you expose ideas and concepts so that everybody can pick up what they like and move forward with self-empowerment. So I just want to bring that up and say that you're a fantastic host, and I appreciate your work.
God bless you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one of the things I want to sort of mention that I think is not really discussed a lot, but I want to start to see if we can maybe have that back and forth and weave it into the idea and concept of artificial intelligence and also with the social credit system and today's sort of chaos that we're dealing with the border issue, the biometrics that, you know, now we have to do DNA testing all the time. We have to do handprints to go to banks, iris scans, you know, for refugees in different parts of the world. What is this all about? Why is it so chaotic? And what is the role of artificial intelligence and how does it connect to the social credit system that the public has come to understand that it's supposedly started in China and is like the test bed and has been going being rolled out supposedly in 2020, and we've got hundreds of millions of cameras that are being installed everywhere in China, and so now wherever you go you can't really do anything without a smartphone and the ability to log in and log out of every transaction of your life. And also to try to connect it to a level that maybe is really not well known. And the reason why I can bring this subject up, it's basically sun worship and a solar cult. And this solar cult is, I would suspect, a major piece of the puzzle that will, in the background, connect to AI and the social credit system. And but we've got to look at it from a standpoint of a corporation. I think that's probably where I would have my starting point is the having a corporation is the foundation of what we're dealing with today, because the United States today is a corporation. It's a federal corporation. And most people, including myself, when I grew up, I spent a large chunk of my life in the States. I've had the blessing of being an American, living in the States, and having some of the best experiences of my life in the company of the American people. But when I was learning in high school in the States, it wasn't that the U.S. is a corporation. That's not what I was learning. I was learning that freedom is basically the underpinning of what makes America and American people great. And over the years, I didn't know what to do, so I just sort of gave up on certain topics and certain ideas because nobody around me could really help me understand anything further than what the mainstream news would tell me, or maybe a university professor or college or high school teacher would be able to describe. And so I decided to do my own homework, and over the years, I came across a man that I find very, very fascinating and really is just over the top for me. His name is Jordan Maxwell, and he talks about unbelievable stuff about how the U.S. is a corporation and how banks work isn't the way we think it is, how the police work, what they actually are supposed to be doing, you know, and you know, is there really law enforcement? To my knowledge, there isn't any law enforcement anywhere on earth. And we don't really have nations anymore. We have corporations and we have corporate democracies. Well, a lot of this stuff originated from this man, Jordan Maxwell, who spent almost six decades of his life trying to expose these kinds of ideas and concepts so that the American people can continue their growth and learning and move towards what I would consider maybe a very small opportunity for us to overcome what's coming. It doesn't mean that there isn't going to be incredible problems and difficulties, but to create an opportunity for those who want to know and participate in their solution, their lives, and be part of a totally different outcome than what the elites have in mind for the human family, which is basically, it's a showstopper for everybody. And, so I wanted to start off with the corporation as the United States. And so on the Cornell Law School website, the U.S. Code Title 28, the judiciary and judicial procedures, it's part six, the particular proceedings. And so this is a little bit of a text, but I think it's important that I read it, even though it's a little bland, because it'll make sense as I move forward. So one of the definitions in this Title 28 on the Cornell Law School University website, it is the definition of state. And the state means any of several states, the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, the Commonwealth of Northern Marianas, or any territory or possession of the United States. And right below that, it says the United States, it means a federal corporation. It doesn't say a constitutional republic. It doesn't say, you know, freedom and justice. It says a federal corporation. So if in 1871, which is where I had become aware of the idea that the U.S. there as a nation of the people was converted and lost and converted to a corporation in 1871, then it would make sense that today, if it had a few extra corporate steps along the way, now I understand why it's a federal corporation, because we have a federal government and we have a Federal Emergency Management Association, which is called FEMA. And if anybody gets out of line with this privately foreign corporation that we call the U.S. government, it's going to be the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And so that's what they do. They make sure that the corporation stays afloat with their business model, not ours. And so we have to understand that. And then we connect that to everybody with our districts, right? Your school district, your voting district, and it all connects to the District of Columbia, which is part of the federal corporation. And even Jimmy Carter said in one of his speeches, I think, I forget what year it was, but maybe you have that recall, George, is that he said that the D.C. is an island unto itself. And so I didn't know what to make of that. But after looking at all this, I started to understand that not just Canada, not just the United States Incorporated, but many countries around the world are registered as corporations. So I'm in Canada, but Canada's registered as a corporation on the Securities Exchange Commission. So if you go to their website and you do a company search and you type in Canada, you'll see it registered as a foreign government. Israel and Chile and all these other, you know, the city of Naples. It goes on and on. And so you start thinking, how is it possible today that we have this COVID, you know, and then the refugee issue and everything? How do you change the direction of everything? And then all these rules are enforced that are arbitrary. It comes from a source that's corporate. It's not we the people. It's not a constitutional republic. That's why a lot of people aren't able to figure this out, is because they assume, and this, it's a mistake that I've had for almost my entire life, that that we actually have our own nation. And we don't. It's all privately owned. It's foreign. It's not domestic. And so, and at the same time, I don't want to belittle any man or woman who chooses to join the military or the police system, who their heart is in the right place and they want to do, they want to serve, because they want to serve the psychology and the environment that we all grew up in, which is we had the liberty to move freely. But the difference between liberty and freedom, in my humble opinion, is that, and we have a statue of liberty. We don't have a statue of freedom. And this is where Jordan Maxwell comes in again, is that the statue of liberty is a permission given to you and to me to be able to move as we see fit, to shop where we want, to see our family and friends as we, you know, on a whim. And so that statue of liberty was not, you know, the statue of freedom. So we have to look at it from the perspective that if we don't have our own nation, we have a private corporation, it's a little easier for me to swallow. How come we can make all these moves so quickly and we're not able to figure out at this breakneck speed, how come it's changing so quickly? How come there's so much resistance? It's because everybody is under the impression we have our own place called home. And we don't. We have a private corporation. And we, you know, when you have the Constitution, it's being displayed in the States, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could have a piece of paper attached to it called a lodial title? And a lodial title, what that means, I think if I were to spell it, is A-L-L-O-D-I-A-L. And a lodial title just basically means you actually own something. You own that land. You don't just own the air rights if you're building a skyscraper. You don't just have surface rights to have a house on it. And you don't just have specific rights like mineral rights to mine or to drill for oil. You own everything on it. And so what that means is you own the people and the living creatures on it, which is us and our companions on Earth, the animals, the birds, the insects, everything, the water. And so when you have federal statutes and all these laws that are being passed over the years, it's corporatizing and monetizing and securitizing everything that we do. But now we're stuck. We have trillions of – what was it, George? We have $10 trillion that was – put out and packages and something for the last 12 months.
Indeed.
You know, you have this much debt. What happens is that it turns into a bankruptcy. And so the psychology that I had is we're not in a bankruptcy. I'm not bankrupt. Why do I have to deal with the bankruptcy of the nation? Well, eventually the bills come due, and I suspect that we're in a global bankruptcy right now, and that reorganization requires each and every one of us, whether we're personally bankrupt or not, to face the music. And the musical chairs game is the music is stopped. Everybody sat down in the chair, and the 7 billion of us don't have a chair to sit in. And when you go through bankruptcy, you have rules and conditions to follow until it's discharged, and then you can start over, and you have bad credit for 7 years, example. And so that system of reorganization is called the social credit system. It's not Chinese. And by the way, and I very much appreciate the Chinese people. I've had friends throughout my life of all different backgrounds and creeds and colors. It doesn't matter to me. What matters is what kind of person are you, and how do you behave, and what do you bring to the table? And there's some fascinating people I met of all backgrounds. And the Chinese people, unfortunately, do not have a government either. What they have instead is the Chinese Communist Party. And that is not a nation. That is a corporation. And they have rolled out the social credit system there because they have one of the largest debts on Earth. And they own a lot of debt of the American, the U.S. incorporation. And so now the debt's being called in and the bankruptcy's rolled out. And so now we have to follow all these rules like we're in bankruptcy. But they don't tell you that. They say it's to protect the safety of everyone on the face of the earth. You have to stay home. Don't leave your house. Wear a mask, and preferably wear two or three masks if you can, because that means you're really good at what you're doing. And that's not the case. The listenership of this network is so important Your presence is so important. Your support of this network is absolutely critical so that we have a shot to understand what I would consider is actually the bigger problem versus the COVID problem. The COVID is a smokescreen. And so when you have this this smokescreen, you roll out all these milestones of a corporate plan, and then you can implement all this new technology. And so when you have the borders being dissolved and you have tens of thousands or hundreds or even millions of people coming in, you're going to have to deal with that problem. So they create a problem. Then they have the solution, which is biometrics. I need to scan your face, your eyes, your skin, you know, your fingerprints, your everything. We need to know everything about you or else we can't be secure. And so, you know, when you have that, it's very difficult for the, myself included, by the way. And I don't want to speak for anybody else. I'll speak for myself. It's very difficult to keep up with all these changes, and it's done on purpose because the people who own, who actually have the allodial title of what we would call America, the United States, we don't know, or at least I don't know. I'm not able to find it. And so, and if we're inside of a $10 trillion debt that of spending a glut, and a large chunk of it is sent overseas, what do the American people get for their hard work? What do they get? They get a bankruptcy system that is used to force everybody into it using COVID. Now, I'm not saying COVID isn't real, and I'm not saying that illness isn't something that we shouldn't, and public safety and public health shouldn't be a top priority. Of course it should be. But at the same time, everybody knows this, is that abuse exists in this world. And I feel as if the trust of the American people and the trust of the human family has been abused and is continuously being abused right now. And so the so we come back to the corporation. We look at the artificial scenario where it's been overblown with the COVID situation. You can't travel. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. And you're the problem, not the virus. You're the problem. No, that's not. It's the opposite. We have the power to understand what's going on, and we have the power to see beyond the mainstream's narrative and say, I accept that I'm a free person. And the psychology of America needs to rise again, where freedom, not liberty, freedom really is the example of the world. And so, but the thing is that we have to understand that we're facing a corporate, bankruptcy and the artificial intelligence that's capturing everything we do and say on the internet. That's why they have you stay home so that we can see what you're doing. We can, feed the algorithms, feed the large computer all over the world with how you behave and how you're handling it, what kind of stress and what are you eating? What are you ordering in? How are you doing your groceries? It's all there because the AI needs it so that when they roll out the social credit for America, which is already in place, it's just that it's not understood publicly yet because there's still the fear of COVID, is that there's going to be a large significant portion of people who are unfortunately, and this is so, it's so heartbreaking. I still have a hard time sleeping with this. Is a lot of people are going to lose everything. And, but we can turn it around by understanding roughly what's happening to us from a higher level. And so I don't know what you think, George. I don't want to dominate everything, but what are your thoughts on what I've mentioned so far? And if you disagree with anything, I want to get your take on it too.
Oh, I don't disagree at all. Like, I've had this sneaky feeling that you've researched, but it's like sometimes you just feel it in your bones, and we're not inured to know the truth, but we know about the debt crisis, how money's created, and, you know, this has been a fundamental of alternative media for as long as I've known alternative media, is that this giant debt bubble's growing, and one day it's going to explode. And they lie to us and hide numbers and adjust the books, but it's coming. There's no way out. Well, I think we've gotten into that point. You know, I did write a blog about that, you know, many years ago now. It's almost a decade, but you know, I sent it to my son this morning, and, you know, just to remind him because he's starting to wake up to these things, and I'm glad for that. But this is the bread and butter of it all. And when you get into this trap, you're not even going to see it coming. That's the whole beauty of it, I guess, for lack of a better word. Sometimes something disgusting is beautiful. The math of it is beautiful, but it's the hyperbolic cone. So when you go into a hyperbolic cone and you're leaving from the future, or leaving from the past into the future part, you get into a period of uncertainty where you can't see what's going to happen anymore. And it's like that with this debt, that you won't exactly see the point of bankruptcy. You'll go through, but you're in like a never-never land where you think what was still is, and it isn't. And after a period of time, the veil comes off, you're on the other side, and everything crashes around you. That'll be the Great Reset. And when you get into that point now, everything's going to fall apart. There isn't going to be money. There isn't going to be anything. It's just going to be you. And, I always use the boat analogy. You're sunk. It's just you in the water. And if you haven't built a lifeboat, you're finished because the storm is upon you. I called my blog Hyperbolic Debt, Hyperbolic Gold. It is upon us. And I wrote that in 2012 because we almost had the financial meltdown over a decade ago. And we survived through that by printing more money and expanding the debt. But now it's upon us. And in the old days of my grandfather's generation, when they went through that in the 30s and the bankruptcy back then, I believe we were used as chattel for the banks or whoever the creditors were, that basically they owned us, and they've owned us ever since. But we've lived in a delusional utopia world where, everything seems the same as before. It's just we don't really know that our birth certificates are bills of lading. We really don't know about admiralty law. We still live under the illusion that, they told us the fairy tales in school that we have independent countries and that it's democratic and we get to pick our leaders. And we didn't realize it was all fake. And I believe now the time has come and due, and we're on the table to pay off the debt. The creditors got us, and they don't need us. There's too many of us. They got their robots, and we got you, Power Hour Nation, and we'll be back on the other side of the break with Jeff Fremont. Thanks for coming out.
Where to start? There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
This week only, we're offering 10% off all products found at thepowermall.com. That's right, 10% off all Power Mall products through the end of the week. That's 10% off all Power Mall products, excluding all drop-shipped items. Call Jay right now at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or as always, buy from the good guys, buy from thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hurry, offer valid this week only.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. We're going through the ammunition very fast in this battle. The battle between right and wrong, good and evil, artificial intelligence, human flesh. That's why I'm always a big believer this is the end of the biblical age, because we're moving from flesh and blood, God-given carbon-based life, into a silicon-based existence, some sort of life in dimensional space that we can't even begin to understand. And the only ammunition we have is to figure out the tactics, understand the technology and how it's being used against us, and put a crowbar into the works so it jams up and doesn't finish the project. But I felt strongly, that we were being bankrupted and assimilated by our creditors, and I have no illusion that I'm a free person, because if I try to exercise any kind of freedom now in the present, grip of the COVID police state, hard pressure is applied on people. You know, I remember a chap here in Ontario was shot to death because, he wasn't going to wear a mask and he was going to go into a store, and a confrontation started. You know, he left, he went home. Maybe there was a pushing and shoving match, but because he was a gun owner, he was executed quickly. And, so that kind of, they turned the heat down a little bit, but by and large, they're still setting it up that they're the masters of destiny. They own us, they control us, and like all good serfs and slaves, we must comply. And governments all over the world, the American and Canadian now, are trying to work overdrive to get after that evil villain, Mr. AR. And it's like, who cares? Like, by and large, I look at most people as completely inept to be any type of military force to resist or fight back. And, it's almost, it would burden them down to carry the AR and make it better for the enemy to win. But for some strange reason, they want to go after all fundamental rights, especially the right to determine your own existence, according to the method of the Founding Fathers, the Second Amendment. And that's probably got to be the most chilling as we move into this. And we are bankrupt. Doesn't matter how much money you got in your purse, and I use that figuratively, bank accounts, whatever funds you have, it's not real. All cash stuff is like a promise to pay note. And the people who issued those notes are gone. They're finished. And so whatever dollar value or other currency value you have, it's over. It's just you haven't hit the wall yet. You haven't seen the end result of it yet. The only self-sustaining, self-sufficient, method that you had some sort of worth would be gold, silver, precious metals, and perhaps even some of these cryptocurrencies, but I look at them as a trap. And Jeffrey will get into the understanding and description of some of these things to help you better understand it. But grandfather always said, and he survived those great calamities, wars, depressions, and all that, but especially speaking about the depression, an acre of land is an acre of land. A suit is a suit. It has so much value vis-a-vis one to the other. There may be a ratio between an ounce of gold and an acre of land or vice versa. And the big part is that you got it and you own it, because on that acre of land you can grow so much food. You have your shelter, whatever it is, that it's paid off. You own it. And that's important. And if you got to do it rough and just disappear into the hinterland somewhere, well, that might be your way or your only option either, or as I tease Jack, to find an unincorporated island in the South Pacific. But all governments are corporations. People argue that with me and in the community I live. Just look at the city trucks. It says the corporation of the city of, and you'll find that all over the place. So who are you trying to kid here, pal? And they all are registered. I've researched that before myself and found it. And, you know, they're all registered in the same place. And that's just the way it is. And that's why Obama didn't need a birth certificate, because he's not president of the republic. He's president of a corporation. And anybody could be president of the corporation. It's just whoever they pick. So tell us about these cryptocurrencies and what's important about that.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm so glad that you mentioned that, you know, it's not money. And no matter how much money that an individual has in the bank, it's not actually money. And so the example I use, and you have to, you know, for me, my lifestyle, how I think is I sort of have like a mindset of a child, you know, a 12-year-old. So I have to have answers that really pan out for me. And so I'll give you one that worked for me. When I go to the laundromat, I haven't been in many years, but I used to go to the laundromat and when I was even younger, I would go to an arcade and play video games. And it all started off, you go with a handful of quarters to the arcade and to the laundromat, depending where you lived and what your circumstances were, if you didn't have a laundry machine in your home. And you just put in, you know, we all understand as cash. Well, then over the years, you know, they came out with tokens. So you go to a restaurant like for children, like Chuck E. Cheese, and you give some cash, and they give you tokens. And that money is only good inside of that privately owned, privately run corporate environment. And so it's the same thing with arcades. Over the years, they switched over to tokens, and same thing for not all, of course, but laundromats as well. And so when you're getting a token, is that really money, or is it privately owned money? And so ultimately the question I asked myself, is the U.S. dollar money? And it's a debt instrument. It's debt. It's somebody else's private currency. That's why I said earlier that the U.S. is a private, it's a federal corporation. That's why you have the Federal Reserve, and you have the enforcement gang, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. So their job, even though I'm sure there's probably some great people in that, you know, in the realm of you know, policy enforcement, it's not law enforcement. Unfortunately, the business model is not about law enforcement. It's about policy enforcement, and it's private. So it's all private. So they get to pick and choose. It's called selective enforcement. They pick and choose who they want to pursue and who they want to talk to and who they want to, infuse themselves into the lives of those who they feel are interesting, and remove those who they don't want. So it's selective enforcement. So when you have these tokens and you have this money that's not necessarily of the people, it's private, of course all these changes happen. Of course all these wars are going to happen. And so when you get to the point of a bankruptcy, now that they're switching everybody over to cryptocurrency, it's a token. It's not money, like a precious metal. Where you can actually own it and you actually have it in your possession. It's yours. It can't just be deleted. You know, Jeff Bezos did an interview years ago, and he was saying that he regretted going into people's Kindles and deleting a copy of the book of George Orwell, 1984, because it created a little bit of a stir that, you know, you could just go into someone's device and just delete it and really don't have to ask. We are living in a privately owned publicly funded world, and we have been given our new token, and it's called crypto. And that cryptocurrency, what's going to happen is that it's basically, you know, you said it was, George, that you were sort of alluding to the fact that it could be an intelligence invention, maybe with the NSA. If you go into Google or DuckDuckGo, whatever search engine that of your choice, and type in NSA sign, like the sign in front of the NSA, and you'll notice that the sign is 85% UN blue, and it says National Security Agents on it with a darker blue, a trim around it. It doesn't show you the U.S. flag. It shows you the UN blue background. So all the employees there, basically the UN employees. But some of them probably know it. Some of them might not. The worst part is that you can't, you know, if someone's an employee of all these institutions, the CIA, NSA, FBI, they can't say anything until they leave this world, until they draw their last breath. They're not allowed to talk. They're not allowed to ask any questions. They just need to execute. And that's their job. And so that when this COVID thing continues to move forward, and I really hope it's not what I suspected, is that there's going to be a possible allergic reaction. Hopefully there is. That's not the case. But if there is, a lot of people are going to suffer and possibly leave this world much earlier than they wanted to. Everybody is being pushed into cryptocurrencies right now. Oh, Bitcoin's up to 50 or 60,000 a coin. Oh my goodness, let's jump for it because you know the dollar is going to fall apart and all that. Anybody who jumps into crypto doesn't understand, or if they do, they're not going to say anything. Is that you're moving towards a social credit system where you have no, the liberty has been removed and there was no freedom, but now the liberty is going to be removed about what you can buy, when and where and how. And it'll be monitored constantly, and you need things like 5G to be able to do it. So that's why they rolled it out, regardless if people liked it or didn't like it. It was rolled out. So you need that infrastructure. And then if people pass away because of this whole COVID thing, what's going to happen to those tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or millions of people who put a portion of their savings, their life savings, their investments all into cryptocurrencies, regardless of which one? What's going to happen is all these people's money is going to be lost. And so when the collapse occurs, and eventually it will, I don't know when or how, it's not my game, you know, you're going to understand the slogan that the President Biden said and other prime ministers around the world have said: build back better. Build back better means we're going to get everybody to leave the world of the dollar, and basically the people of the world will unwittingly force the collapse by being scared and moving into crypto. And then a lot of people will pass away. But when you pass away, or someone passes away, and that money isn't allotted correctly, a lot of it's going to be lost. So if there's only 21 million bitcoins that can be produced, or that's supposedly it's the hardest asset, it's gold 2.0. I don't really agree with that. I'm not a financial advisor. I don't give financial advice. And I'm not a lawyer. I don't practice, and I don't practice medicine either. It's just an opinion. And it's up to the listener to do their homework, but this is just an opinion, is that these cryptos that were supposedly are going to be a gold mine eventually are going to hit a brick wall, and it's going to be another problem. So we need something that, you know, if 21 million coins are mined, but several hundred million people pass away from this COVID situation because of the health problems, or maybe side effects from anything out there, vaccination, whatever, well, that money won't be accessible in the economy anymore. Who knows if it's going to be 20 or 30 or 50% that might not even be accessible because people didn't have a chance to get their affairs in order, or they lost their password. And so now they're going to have to come out with another cryptocurrency of some kind. So that's where, you know, a Fed coin could be a possible thing. So other people will call national cryptocurrencies. And so it's going to be a build back better. So you got to collapse it. You got to get everybody to fall and tie their left shoe to the right shoe. And I'm not talking about the listeners here. I'm not talking about good people who want to be part of the solution, who are educating themselves. I'm talking about the people who just don't know what's going on, and my heart goes out to them. I don't know how to reach some of them, but I know how to reach out to those who want to know. And there's going to be multiple stages of collapse, and the cryptos is just a stepping stone. You know, everybody needs to migrate in, and then they'll come out with what they really want later. And so that migration is happening. That's why, you know, cryptos are going through the roof, and the potential is unlimited and all this stuff. And for years I kept hearing, oh, it's unhackable. It's super private. It's impossible. It's so private. It's just like the best thing since sliced bread. But the thing is that if the internet itself manages the blockchain, manages these technologies that administers the ledger, you know, I'm using these terms, accounting terms, the ledger, like a bookie for gambling and sports or cards or whatever, he writes down or she writes down who owes what and who's owed and who owes me and who I owe. Well, that ledger, if I were to translate into a technology, it's called blockchain. And if you just look at the word chain, what does a chain do? It chains you up. Chains rarely free people. Most chains do not do free people. They chain you down. And so this migration from fiat currency, which is all desired to go towards crypto, it's what they want so they can build back better. You're going to have, and I'm going to have, a very difficult scenario. And if a lot of people pass away, how do you manage what's left over of these cryptos? They're going to say, we can't manage. We need something else. They'll come out with what they actually really want. And so it's a very sad story. But this is what I think it is. But the underpinning of this, and this is what I want to mention, even though I don't have an example for the U.S. incorporated, I do have one for Canada. It's a TechCrunch article. The name of the article, the title is called "A Supreme Court Ruling Affirming Canada's Carbon Tax Opens the Door for a Startup Explosion." So what happens is that startup explosion is really based off of the psychology is that we're carbon-based units. The Great Reset, and we have to save the Earth, and the Green New Deal, and all this stuff. For those who are aware with these terms, is that carbon is bad. Everything associated with carbon has to be taxed, and we have to restrain it. Well, I'm a carbon being, and you are too, and so that means we're going to be restricted. So we're inside of a bankruptcy, and now what's going to be considered taxable is now going to be carbon. And Canada's like, absolutely, everybody's high-fiving each other at the upper echelons. This is amazing. We're going to pop some champagne. Now we've got our carbon units with your social insurance number, or in the States, it's a social security number, part of a trust. It's a giant trust fund. And you are the person who's going to animate that. But now we can tax the carbon in you, which means we can have a social credit system. And what's going to tie it all together? Artificial intelligence. And there's a gentleman who was the head of the media labs at MIT. His name is Joy Ito, J-O-I, and his last name is I-T-O. And he resigned because of some sort of issue during the Jeffrey Epstein era. But he said something completely fascinating to me in public in one of those panels, those boring panels where, you know, it's 2 hours of jibber-jabber. But he said something very key. He said something to the effect, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, a corporation is a precursor to artificial intelligence. And that's really what it is. And so the corporation is the pre-electronic. We're transitioning from the pre-electronic AI to the modern day AI where everything's automated. We were the automators. You had a position in the company. You were such and such position in such and such department, in such division, in such and such regional office or the headquarters, and you are part of a corporate nation. And so your role and your position, just like there's a position on a keyboard, there's a position on a motherboard of a computer, our position was to animate and fulfill our roles and duties. Just like when someone goes to the military, you have to do your duty and discharge your debt to society. If you go to prison, there's all kinds of psychological wording and everything, but ultimately it's a corporation. And even on YouTube, I saw, I think it was the head guy. There's a video called The Third Offset. And I think it was the CIO of the Department of Defense. He says, we're just one of the largest corporations on Earth. He didn't say we are the final, the bottom line on defending the constitutional republic. and defending the Constitution and the liberties of man, that it is our right. It's not that we have to ask for it or do I have to prove I'm free. I am free, and the government serves us and you and me. And so that whole psychology has been shifted and changed over the years, and now we're at the final stages where the bankruptcy is basically it is complete, and now we're switching over to cryptos. But that this stage of cryptos for the next 10 years, it will probably most likely collapse again, and then they'll come out what they really want. And it'll be permanent, and whoever makes it through all this will be on the social credit system. So, and it's all, the foundation of it is the carbon tax laws. If you and I are perceived as a carbon unit, then you can be manipulated. And even Jordan said, you know, we're on the stock exchange, right? Our bodies are on the stock exchange. And so if you say, well, I don't really believe that. So when you go get your license and they ask you, would you like to be an organ donor? What do you mean donor? What are you're giving? If a horrible tragedy were to occur, and someone is a donor, and that life-saving act of being a donor helps save someone else's life, that's great. But ultimately, the value of that organ is really what the system wants. It's not just the life-saving act, which is what I would call a good thing if you want to choose that route. But it's the business around the donation of the organ. You give it, but they make the money off of transferring it and billing people and creating jobs and everything. It's a business. Your organs are worth money. And China has organ harvesting, and it's not by chance. It's because it makes unbelievable amounts of untold money off of prisoners. And so China is not a nation. It is a outdoor prison of 1.4 billion people who basically work and operate under the social credit system. And so one day, someone could come visit your home and say, we don't like your social credit score. We're going to take one of your kidneys. If you want to continue moving forward, we'll give you 20 points and we'll take one of your kidneys. This is not something that's outlandish that's coming down for our children. And so this is why I'm going out of my way. I'm making a personal sacrifice to talk about all this stuff, because it's not my first choice. It's to come out in the air and talk about all this, to talk about all these letter agencies and the bankruptcy. It's basically counterintuitive for a person knowing this to go out and talk about. But the thing is that the American people and the American experience that I had in my life, I am indebted to the American people. I am indebted to the people in Canada. I'm indebted to everybody I've ever met in my entire life who's brought value and purpose to my life. And now I don't know of any other way to give back than this way. And the person who helped me grow and evolve was Jordan Maxwell, amongst many other speakers. And the Power Hour, long, I didn't even realize it back in the day, but I was listening to the Power Hour, I think, in 2010, and I had an opportunity to live with Jordan for a short while, and I bought some products, and that's how I discovered the Power Hour, because the information was so phenomenal. John Perkins was one of the guests with Joyce, and then over time I found out about the Power. I was reintroduced. I think that's probably divine providence. You know, I want to thank God for my curiosity and for his presence in my life. And so this is how I'm giving back. And if it means I have to sacrifice everything, it's totally worth it, because my life has value. My life has purpose. Even though on the stock exchange and to the elites of the world, I have zero value. And I'm only speaking for myself, but I'm saying that the social credit system, the world bankruptcy, and the build back better is you got to set the platform. The carbon has to be taxable, has to be part of the corporate business model, and then you got to convert everybody over to the social credit system. And nobody in their right mind would do that unless you have something that scares the daylights out of everybody, and including me, called COVID. I'm not worried about the virus. I'm worried about everything that comes with it. And so this is why I'm taking the time to talk about it. And this is where you come in and you shine and support this network. Buy and prepare yourself. Buy whatever it is that you actually need. And if you don't need anything from the Power Mall, then make a donation, because this network is so important, and you are the foundation of changing the outcome of everything. Absolutely everything. So that's, I don't know, what do you think? But,
well, it's time for me to close up. We're heading to the exit door very shortly. But thanks for reminding me about the Power Hour. 10% off site-wide sale for the rest of the month. No code necessary. Discount applies at checkout. That's important. And I have an article that I have posted on my website about cryptocurrency, that it's an NSA invention. But one of the first mentions of it was a 1996 paper authored by the NSA, How to Make a Mint, the Cryptography of Anonymous Electronic Cash. So you can see that you're being set up, more or less. The great inventor of Bitcoin was a made-up name, Satoshi Nakamoto. Sounds really original, except that's an amalgam of tech companies, Samsung, Toshiba, Nakayama, and Motorola. So, you know, we see this is all created, generally created as a quicksand trap, and people love to run into those things, especially with the inducement of money. And to make it very clear, from a book that was called Splitting Pennies, that was all about this, that it was a settlement coin. Just as you talk about your tokens, this is what it was for, a settlement coin. You're 100% on the money there. And, you know, we can only hope and pray that people catch on, especially to the corporate aspect of all governments, and not just that D.C. is an evil city, but you got the City of London and you have the Vatican. They're in a corporate city. Those are the three bizarre cities in the world that seem to do all the smoke and mirrors magic in the world, and they're all connected in some satanic giant hive of the New World Order. And pay attention to them and their movements. So a final statement from you as we get close to the wire?
Well, I'm grateful for the opportunity today. And there's only one last thing I want to add. And this is like a sort of like a simple statement. If you had a library yourself, the listener, you had a library that was 51 miles of documentation. I'm not talking about comic books. I'm talking about the everything on everything about humanity. Would you be able to pull this off? And the answer should, for most of us, should be yes. And that's really what this is. It's a Vatican operation. It's a solar cult.
Indeed,
you can visit my website. You can visit my website, jeffreymatt.com, M-A-T-T-E. Thank you for everything. Thank you, George, for your time and the opportunity.
Oh, we're paisanos now. You'll be part of the posse. God bless you. God bless you all at Power Hour. And God bless Joyce Riley for leaving us Power Hour so that we can fight the battle forever. I'm George Freund. I'm from Canada, but that's okay. We're all brothers under God. Righteous Son, He is Yahweh, the three in one, He is Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.